This is the Kindy Rockstars Podcast, Season 4. Bringing you incredibly talented singers, artists, creators, and producers in the genre of children's music. I'm your host, Patrick Adams. Each episode will feature songs, albums, videos, or live performances, along with great stories from the artists themselves. Kindy Rockstar Season 4 is proud to be supported and sponsored by Waltmania Public Relations, serving the family entertainment community for more than 20 years. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Kindy Rockstars. I am so excited to have with me, all the way from Australia, Tina Harris, creative force, along with Mark Harris, behind Lala. So welcome to the show, Tina. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Patrick. Thank you so much. It's really exciting to be here.
So, and your first time guest, so would love to learn a little bit more about you and Lala and how you got started into making kids' music.
Oh, okay. So I think we were trying to do the math on this. We think Lala must be about 15 years old now. And Mark and I are both classical trained musicians, and Mark also is a jazz double bass player. And we met at the conservatorium in Sydney 150 years ago. And basically what happened is, after our two daughters were born, this is such a common story for so many kids artists, I think. You have children and then you all of a sudden your world is opened to children's music. I decided after leaving the opera company to have babies that I would start some early childhood music classes. And we started off with just some classes, and then the classes became school, and the school became four schools. And it was actually at those lessons that one of the mums who was coming along said, I used to drag Mark along at the end of the term and we'd do a little concert. And she was like, you guys are great. You should do a show. And I went, that's a good idea. And at that time in Australia, the Wiggles were, you know, they were big, but they weren't, you know, massively big. And I thought, well, why don't we do that? So we got some friends together and recorded an album, and I went and hired a venue, and basically we did our first season of Lala, which I had no idea how to market a show, and I had no idea how to put this whole thing together. And I think I stupidly opened 24 shows in a two-week school holiday period, which was just nuts. And we hardly sold any tickets. But what happened was the people who were coming along loved what we were doing because it was so interactive, and we had all these really interesting world musical instruments, and the songs were jazzy and funky and groovy. And I invited Nickelodeon, Sydney Opera House, and the Enmore Theatre along to that first season, and all three of them signed us up, so we were off and running.
Awesome. So the type of music that you do, is it a lot of original stuff or the classics, or what's your approach to the songs you make?
Well, over the years, we've gone through different phases. I think early on, we were very much all original and with a really strong influence. Mark plays in a world music band in Australia called Monsieur Camembert, and they have this really fantastic feel and groove to the songs. And I think I often think of them as being one of our major influences early on. And you can kind of hear that with some of our earlier tunes. So original content. But as we've kind of morphed through the world of TV and YouTube, what we're now doing more of is just a retake on some traditional nursery rhymes because they do very well on YouTube. But having said that, I've had an epiphany over the last couple of weeks, and I'm really craving getting back to some of those more original roots of the songs that we're so well known for. And I think the next album is going to be a bit of a more of a turn back towards that.
Very cool. Yeah, and you mentioned your YouTube channel, and I wanted to talk to you about that. It's very successful, and as children's artists, and me in particular, I like to make a video for every song that I do. But the trick ultimately is how do you get people to watch those videos and things like that? You have a very successful channel. How has YouTube like impacted you as a band, and how much effort do you put into that versus everything else?
Well, I think YouTube for us is kind of a newer part of our business structure. And we've had the YouTube channel for years, but what we were doing was we were putting up just videos that we were, making ad hoc or content from our TV shows. And during pre-COVID, we were touring with the band a lot. And the tours over the years had grown to the point where we were doing 50, 60 venues around Australia, and we were getting, they were really good houses. So there would be like 400, 500 people a show. And that is like a monster. That's a beast, a touring beast. And with that comes so many responsibilities and so many costs. Then COVID and everything stopped. And during that couple of years, we'd started to do more video, but we really pivoted and spent more time on YouTube. And I guess, look, it is that thing of when you want to grow something and you focus on it and you put all of that attention and love on it, it does start to reward you. And so for us, it's been a real pivot towards more trending content, more nursery rhymes, more well-known tunes. But what we try and do, or we're planning to do a little bit more of, is do one for the algorithm, one for the soul, one for the algorithm, one for the soul, because you can go a little bit loopy, I think, on YouTube if you're just making YouTube content.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Have you ventured outside of Australia in touring, and what are some interesting places you've been to?
We've been outside of Australia, but a majority of the things that we've done have been for conferences. So we've been to New York a number of times for the Kids Screen Conference, which is the television conference for kids entertainment and media. Mark and I lived in and worked in Japan for a couple of years before the kids were born. So I think that Asian kind of cultural pull is in our family quite a bit, so which is lovely. And I'm half Chinese, so but yeah, as far as taking the band overseas, no. I'd love to, it would be great, but yeah, it's just the cost of traveling a five-piece band is kind of prohibitive. It's hard enough getting around Australia, let alone
Yeah.
overseas.
Australia is kind of big. People, they stop and think about it. Australia is about the same size as the United States.
Yeah, we did one tour. I was thinking back to this. We've done some crazy things. One of the tours we did was we flew from Sydney to Cairns, and then we drove from Cairns, stopping along, doing shows along the way, and to Brisbane. And so we had to get the truck with all the gear and the sound equipment and everything to drive, and meet us halfway, halfway up Australia, and then kind of tour that way. So we've done some wild tours. We did one that was great, actually, World Vision, and we partnered with them, and they wanted us to go into communities and in the center of Australia, and we did one tour with them, which was 2 weeks on a bush bus. And we flew into Alice Springs, drove 12 hours up to Lajumanu, which is Aboriginal country up in Walpiri country. And we spent the next 2 weeks driving around in Walpiri country. And between each town, it was 12 hours drive. And that's in the middle of Australia. So that was amazing. That was a great trip.
I've been to Sydney, so when I tell people I've been to Australia, I've been to a minute part, I think, of Australia. It was neat, and it kind of stemmed off a trip I was taking to New Zealand. And
Oh, nice.
when they booked my flight back, there was a layover in Sydney. I'm like, I'm not gonna land in Sydney and just stay at the airport. So I extended it for a couple of days and hung around Sydney and visited what I could, as much as I could in like 2 days.
I'm very biased because I'm based in Sydney. I just love Sydney. But yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that about New Zealand, because I'm hoping to go to the Kids Music Awards next year in New Zealand. They look really amazing. I think what the New Zealanders do in their kindy community is really outstanding. It's a
It's
lovely, lovely community.
amazing. And I tell all of the artists, I've had so many from both New Zealand and Australia on the show, how blown away I am by the amount of support that they get for what they do. You know, that's hard to come by here in the US. You know, just funding for videos or doing anything. But it seems like you know, I'm hearing constantly, so, oh, we got the money to do a video. I'm like, you guys are really lucky. That's awesome. You can make a great video with
But see,
that.
here's the thing though. I've had this conversation with a number of them in the past, and I think the funding that you can get in New Zealand is amazing, and it really is. It's fantastic. However, I think because there is the funding pool in New Zealand, what it does tend to do is the people wait to make content until there's another funding round. And I think one of the things that I'm not sure if it's just absolute stupidity, it probably is that we just go off and do stuff. And we've always tried to find ways to get content made, even if it's on a shoestring, or it's, we went off and fundraised, did crowdfunding for our last TV show. But when you find ways to just making content easier for yourself, and you're not waiting for government funding, you can get more done, because sometimes that can be limiting. That was a very long answer.
No, it makes a lot of sense. We have a very DIY focus here in our kindy community, and you know, tools like Canva and Animaker and some of these, you know, other green screen technologies, they really do come in handy for getting content out there. You know,
Absolutely. We
it's
used to
not
have.
a, as I say,
Yeah,
it's not a
sorry.
professional, not a professionally made video, but it's still, you can really create something cool with that. And they're always getting, you know, they're adding on to what, I don't know what your thoughts are on artificial intelligence and what that can do, but that's certainly, I've dabbled with that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what we've found now is our last TV show that we made, we raised $750,000 to go make it. And, it was so stressful and so full on. And then we went down and we shot it in this professional studio using brand new technology, on this massive green screen. We had, one of the world's best production companies helping us put this together. And that content, when I look at it now and I compare with what we can make in our lounge room with a green screen, just having knowledge about lighting and what to do in post-production, the content that we're making in our lounge room now is better than that last TV show.
Yeah, I watched a couple of your
And
videos. And some of the green screen tech you're making is incredible.
but that's our home production studio. And I think, and that's something that we're doing now, is we're helping a lot of creators, especially kids creators, and mentoring them through that process, because again, it doesn't have to be hard. It is actually something that is accessible to everyone, and it's not expensive to set up. And I think a lot of people get stuck on the, oh, this is going to cost me a lot of money. It's not. It does take some time and it takes a lot of patience, but it's something that you can do, which I think is really empowering for creators. And yes, with AI coming in the way it is, there are some incredible things that you can do with AI. Although, having said that, I think the power of AI is not to do the job for you. A lot of people get stuck on it because they think it's going to give you the finished product. AI is the tool that you use to create, rather than it being the thing that actually does it for you. And I
Yeah.
think that's where I'm seeing a bit of, people having a bit of like friction with it at the moment.
Yeah, you still have to have a vision for what it is that
Yeah,
you want to
totally.
create. So
Absolutely. Yep.
can't just leave it all up to AI to come up with it for you.
No, that's right.
All right. Well, all fascinating stuff. I could talk for hours probably with you on all this stuff, but let's get into your songs. So this is a song feature. We got a couple of different songs we're going to talk about. And the first one is called "What Color Were the Dinosaurs?" So this is one of your newer songs, right?
Yeah, I really love this song. It's super fun.
So tell us what inspired it. The dinosaur songs are ubiquitous, and there's a lot, and it's because kids love dinosaurs. So, but what inspired you?
Well, we have been meaning to write a dinosaur song for 15 years, and we just hadn't got around to it. And I said, you know, one of the things that we're focusing on at the moment is really growing our Spotify. And we know that dinosaur songs on Spotify do really well. So, you know, there's an algorithmic kind of candy there for us to write a good dinosaur song. And then we workshopped some different ideas and had a bit of a play around with it. And then we decided, well, wouldn't it be fun if we kind of came to the song really back to front rather than it happening very organically? We started with, what's two really cool things we can put together? Dinosaurs and colors. Okay. And then Mark came up with the text of, you know, I wonder what color were the dinosaurs and do people really know? And so this song really came out of the lyrics, which I think is kind of fun.
All right. Well, we're going to play it now for everybody. Here it is, "What Color Were the Dinosaurs" by Lala.
Stomp, clap, stomp the dinosaur. Stomp, clap, stomp the dinosaur. Stomp, clap, stomp the dinosaur. Stomp. What I'd like to know, their feathers, fur, skin or scales, the pigments that they show. You might think they were gray or brown, it's not so black or white. One thing we all agree on, that roar gave quite a fright.
Roar! I like to think Brontosaurus was pink, Stegosaurus was green. You know what I mean, and it's gotta be true. Velociraptor was blue, T-Rex was red for sure. Paleontologists think
now we know these ancient beasts from old bones in the ground. Their size, the shape, and what they ate, and how they get around. Today's birds are distant cousins, so imagine, if you can, a world of bright and colorful creatures before the time of man.
I like to think Brontosaurus was pink, Stegosaurus was green. You know what I mean, and it's gotta be true. Velociraptor was blue, T-Rex was red for sure.
It's hard to know now that they're extinct, but I think rainbow dinos roam the earth, and that's the missing link.
I like to think Brontosaurus was pink, Stegosaurus was green. You know what I mean, and it's gotta be true. Velociraptor was blue,
yes, I like to think Brontosaurus was pink. Oh, Stegosaurus was green. You know what I mean, and it's gotta be true. Velociraptor was blue, T-Rex was red for sure. Paleontologists think, and I see red, yellow, blue, green, wonderful dinosaurs, purple, orange, and green. Oh, with a colorful.
And that was "What Color Were the Dinosaurs?" All right, the next one we're going to talk about, "Wheels on the Bus." I think many of us who have young kids are very familiar with the song, but tell us about your take on it.
Oh, well, we've now recorded a few different versions of "Wheels on the Bus." The first one we did was "Band on the Bus," and that was for some Nickelodeon clips that we made way, way back in year one. But I think I like this one because it's more poppy, and it's got some extra little sections and some dance moves and things that we wrote into it. But this song was really written as a song to go along with our YouTube clip, and I think it works really well together. So, yeah, it's a great tune.
Well, we're going to play it, and then please go check it out on YouTube. The video was really good. Here it is, Wheels on the Bus by Lala.
The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all through the town.
Wheels on the Bus. All right, we'll talk about one more song, Brush Your Teeth. Tell us about this.
Oh, this is my favorite song. Okay, so this one comes really back to when we were teaching early childhood music classes. And in the classes, a lot of the fun activities we would do would be stop and go, fast and slow, loud and soft. And so I tried to write a whole lot of things into this particular song. So the song goes for 2 minutes. Which is the recommended time to brush your teeth. It has fast and slow, so it's like a game, and it has some stop and go in it. So the kids get really excited about it when the song actually stops and starts. And there's a super cute, well, there's two clips for this one that are on YouTube as well that played on ABC TV here for a number of years. And yeah, it's one of our most popular songs.
Very good. All right. Here it is, Brush Your Teeth by Lala.
Brush your teeth up and
down. Brush your teeth round and round. Brush your teeth up and down. Brush your teeth round and round. Brush your teeth. Cha cha na. Brush your teeth. Cha 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 na. Brush your teeth. Cha 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 na. Brush your teeth. Cha 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 na. Brush your teeth up and down. Brush your teeth round and round. Brush your teeth up and down. Brush your teeth round and round.
That was Brush Your Teeth, and that wraps up our song features. All right, let everybody know, where can they find your music, where can they find your YouTube channel, and how can they connect with you?
Well, I guess the best place to start would be to go to our website, which is lala.com, lah-lah.com. But if you just search Lala's Big Live Band on YouTube, you'll come across our channel and all good streaming services. It's just Lala, actually, on Spotify, lah-lah, but if you go to the website, all the links are there.
Excellent. All right. Well, Tina, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been wonderful to meet you, wonderful to have you on, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
All right, take care.